Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. Today's program is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor and Bible teacher for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word?
I'm so glad you tuned in, and the Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you may look at your situation and think, well, there's not too much to rejoice about, but rejoice anyway. Rejoice in the Lord because he's alive and he is well. And he's the King of Kings, and I thank God he still answers our prayers today. You know, prayer is not something that just changes us, but prayer is asking and receiving, and God still answers prayer. He just answered some prayer of mine just recently, and I thank God for that, and I give him the praise and honor and glory for what he has done. And so we're so glad that you're listening today, and our program, again, is you that listen all the time, is that we are upholding and defending the Word of God. I hear some people say, well, you don't have to defend it, but the Bible says that we are earnestly to contend for the truth, and the truth is God's Word. Jesus said, thy Word is truth, and our faith is based on objective fact. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith is based on evidence. It is based on infallible proof. That's what the Bible says. Jesus showed himself alive by infallible proof. And the atheists will tell you that faith is something based on no evidence. And so you're just believing something that you want to believe. But our faith in Christ and his word is based on evidence. And one of the great prophecies of the Bible, and that is the evidence and proof, that is one of the great ones, God knows the future and he tells it, is found in the book of Daniel chapter 9. And last week we were studying this book, and we were studying Daniel's prayer to God, which is an incredible prayer, and it's worth reading in Daniel 9. If you have your Bibles and want to follow me, that's fine. Now, we're going to start somewhere about verse 16, and then go through the rest of the chapter, and we'll talk about this incredible prophecy given here by Daniel the prophet. It says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. And so because of the sin of the city of Jerusalem, it says they were reproached. That is, the people looked down on them, they hated them, they talked against them. But it came because they had rebelled and sinned against God. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. You know, the Bible is all the way through. It has some basic concepts and ideas that God has given us. And salvation never comes because of our righteousness or our holiness or our good deeds. And that's what it says right here. Salvation comes because of the righteousness of God. God is holy. God is perfect. We are sinful. We are unholy. But by faith in the Lord, God counts his righteousness to us. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto us, unto him for righteousness. What did he believe him about? Well, God said he was going to have a supernatural son. And Abraham believed that, a son that was born supernaturally. And so God was going to be born into the world. The Father was going to have a son. His name was Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith in him and what he said and the fact that Jesus is God's son, then God's righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ who lived a perfect life, is counted to us. And we stand in holiness and righteousness before God. Now, Daniel goes on and says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. It's interesting here that Lord is mentioned three times. You know, the Holy Spirit is called Lord. Jesus Christ is called Lord. And God the Father is called Lord. And it says that we are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's three Lords here. There's three times that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three persons. And it says we're baptized in that name. And so in Acts chapter 10, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And so the Bible fits together perfectly. Now, it goes on, it says in verse 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Now, the holy mountain is the city of Jerusalem and Mount Zion. And that's why today God said that right before Christ came back, this would be the focus of the world. And it's found in Zechariah 12. God says anybody that burdens himself with it, gets involved in this, will be cut in pieces. And finally, all the nations will come up against Jerusalem. And there they will have a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that this has become the number one problem in the world today is the city of Jerusalem. And he says, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the name of the evening oblation. That would be the evening sacrifice. And the man Gabriel, it's interesting, he's called a man here, was an archangel. And he came with the message directly from the creator of the universe. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, it says here that Daniel was greatly beloved. And he was a man close to God. He prayed three times a day. He prayed for Israel. He admitted his sin. He admitted the sins of Israel. He was a prayer warrior, and he was close to God, and he was greatly beloved by God. Now it says here, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now this is referring to the Jewish people. Daniel was a Jew. And you know, at that time when he says that the temple in Jerusalem was desolate, and Jerusalem was desolate, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, and Babylon was a city in Iraq, and they had invaded Israel in the year 586, and they had captured Jerusalem. They had destroyed the city, burned it with fire, burned the temple of Jerusalem, and took the Jews into slavery in Babylon. And so Daniel is talking here to the Lord, but he is talking from the city of Babylon, and he has become a leading political figure. And it's interesting that he was Secretary of State in two of the world's greatest empires at that time, the Babylonian Empire, and then followed by the Persian Emperor. So Daniel, in man's sight, was a great man. And it says here, so it says, the angel's message is, there's 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Now, a week to the Jews, when they refer to a week, we say it's 7 days, but they referred it to a year. And so these were weeks of years. So 70 weeks would be 490 years. And God said that the prophecies and his plan for Israel would be completed in a period of time of 490 years. And it says, and upon thy holy city, so the plan of God would be complete upon the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God. God said that he was pleased to dwell there. He's interested in that city. And when Mark Twain was over there about 150 years ago, he says it was hardly just an old rundown city. But today it has become a controversy that has involved the whole world. and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, that's the sin, to make an end of sins, that is to complete the problem of sin. And that is, there's going to be a day when the people that are left on the earth will be sinless. One day when we go to heaven, we will be sinless. After that, we'll have a new body. There will be no desire even to sin or no temptation. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And that reconciliation to bring people back to God. And because of our sin, there must be a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. That's the payment. One sin would damn us to hell. Adam and Eve, how many sins did they commit to get thrown out of the garden? One sin. And that brought sin into the world. Sin is a rebellion against the word of God. And how do you reconcile us with God and reconcile sin? Well, Moses said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so the Jewish people, they would offer a sacrifice in the Old Testament. An atonement was made, and that atonement was a covering for sin. It wasn't taken away, but it covered sin until the Lord Jesus came. When he came, he made the reconciliation. He paid for sin, and it was not only covered, but it was taken away. When you stand before God, when I stand before God, if I have received the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand before God in absolute holiness and perfection. God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. And David, King David, who is a prophet, he said that blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. That is, he doesn't count sin against us when we have received Christ. Now, if we sin as a Christian, God will discipline us. But we should not use the word punishment. Jesus was punished for all of our sin. And if we keep on, in other words, when you make a sin, that has been punished by Jesus, so God doesn't punish you. If you keep on it and you're saved, God will discipline you to get you back into obeying him and doing the right thing. Now, Jesus made reconciliation for sin and for iniquity by dying on the cross. He was punished in our place and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and that wraps up the whole world scene. When at the end of the thousand-year period, eternity begins. And from then on, it's righteousness forever. To seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And Jesus Christ is going to be king over the world. He's the anointed one, and that's the Messiah, Meshiach, the Messiah. He's the anointed one or the Christ. It's all the same word. And he is the most holy. Know therefore and understand, and here's an incredible prophecy, and it's a series of prophecies given at one place. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, and the street shall be built in again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, those weeks add up to 483 years. And from the time that the order is given to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, God is saying here will be 483 years, and then the Messiah, the Prince, shall come to Jerusalem. And so we know the year that the order was given, and Jesus walked into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, 483 years to the very year, month, and date as the Prince and the King of Israel. And so here is an incredible prophecy that was given. Now, the first prophecy from the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until Jesus came, 483 years. And then it says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, here's the second one it was given. It took 49 years for the city walls to be rebuilt. And so God gives the second date, and they correspond. And that is from the time that the walls are rebuilt, which took 49 years, it would be 434 years until Jesus came. So it comes out the same as the 483 years, but it gives two beginnings there. And I hope you understand that now if you listen to it. But the first one was from the order to rebuild the walls, 483 years. ending on Palm Sunday in the year 32 AD, and the second one was 434 years from the time that the walls were rebuilt 49 years later, and ending up at the exact same time. Now it says, the third prophecy is the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus is to die when he comes into Jerusalem. And so a few days later, he was taken out, and because of the leaders of Israel, he was taken out and crucified. He was cut off. He died, but not for himself. And most people have heard that Jesus died for our sins, and unfortunately, most people do not understand the plain truth. And listen very carefully. When Jesus died for our sins, he was punished for every sin you ever did or ever will do. Every thought, every word, every deed, he was punished. It is very wrong to say that God punishes the Christian, because Jesus was punished 2,000 years ago for every sin you committed. God, if you stay doing something that's against God's will and you hear the word of God preached and your conscience is bothered and you continue, God will discipline you to bring you back to what he wants you to do. But he doesn't punish you. Jesus was punished 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus died, he died for our sin. And that's, therefore, you can go to heaven without any record that you have ever sinned. Well, we'll take a short break and then we'll continue.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
We'll continue on here, and we read in Daniel chapter 9, it says, and after 80 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So Jesus dies for our sins. He paid it all. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and their end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So Jesus says that after he dies, the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed and the sanctuary. That's talking about the temple. And so Jesus died on the cross. And then in 70 AD, the Romans came and destroyed the city. And it was a horrible massacre. 1 million Jews died at that time, and hundreds of thousands were taken into captivity. And in fact, today we see evidence of that in they have an arch there of triumph in Rome, and it shows them carrying the menorah out of the temple by the Roman soldiers, and also the Jewish slaves helped to build the Colosseum that is still standing in Rome today, built by Jewish slaves that were taken during that war. Now it says, the people of the prince that shall come. Now the people were the Romans, therefore the prince that shall come that Daniel is talking about, he is called the beast and he is called the Antichrist. And it says he will come, but he will come later. And it says the end thereof shall be with the flood. That's the end of that war in 70 AD. It's not a flood of water, but it's a flood of soldiers that came in. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And so it was a terrible war in which in Israel, hundreds of towns and villages were destroyed and people enslaved. Now, the next verse, in verse 27, and I hope that we're being able to follow me. First, it was the people came. They destroyed the city and the Jewish temple, as Daniel predicts. And then it talks about the prince that shall come. Well, he didn't come then, but it talks about a prince that will come in the future. Now, if you notice that the total number of years was not 483 years. That was the number of years it would take for Jesus to come the first time. But there's 7 years that are left, and that's a total of 490 years. And these 7 years do not happen when Jesus came the first time, and they happen before he comes the second time. And the prince that shall come comes before Christ comes the second time. Now it says, he shall confirm the covenant. Now, he is of the people that destroyed the temple. That was, he is a Roman. and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he makes a treaty with Israel and the Jewish people for a week. That is 7 years, and that completes the total of 490 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And so the temple will be rebuilt, and they will offer a sacrifice in the city of Jerusalem. And he will make a treaty with them. And then in the middle of that 3.5 years, he will stop the sacrifice and begin to persecute Israel. He will be a world dictator that will do this. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, the rest of the Bible talks about it. It says that that the Antichrist will set up an image in the temple. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he will sit in the temple of Jerusalem, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this world leader, he claims to be God in the flesh. He's a substitute Christ. And he is called the Christ there. He is a political leader. He is a religious leader. And he is backed up by Satan himself. And he will get control. He will make a treaty with Israel. And then he will sit in the temple of God, according to 2 Thessalonians 2. And he will attempt to destroy the Jewish people. Now, Satan hates them, and today the hatred of Israel is growing. And the reason why is because they are an evidence of the God of heaven, the very fact of their existence. God said if they disobeyed him, that he would judge them, they would be punished more than any other people. If they served them, that they would be blessed more than any other people. And so the Bible says right now that they are enemies of the gospel, but love because of the Father's sake. And so the Jewish people are an evidence and proof of God. If you study the Word of God, they were the ones that God used to spread Christianity to the whole world and to spread the knowledge of God to the whole world. And some people teach that God is through with them. They are lying, because Jesus said that in the regeneration, when he comes back, the 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said he'd bring them back, and they are coming back to the land right now. And God is going to use them. Thank God, his word is true. And this Antichrist that is set up and rules the world, Jesus Christ is going to kick him off his throne, and he is going to rule and reign this world from Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And King David said, blessed are all they that put their faith in him. Your sins are forgiven. You're given eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God bless you today. If you'd like to call in, our number is 901-0933, 901-0933. You have a wonderful day, and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.